This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Want to start off this Monday saying thank you to all of our service personnel who have served this country, all the people that have come home, and we have two such gentlemen in studio with us. Please welcome Victor Versace and Gerald Torres. They are with the Desert Forge Foundation. Victor and Gerald, welcome to ABQ Connect.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, you guys are doing some, both former combat veterans. In fact, you've been telling me some scary stories off air about things that have happened that you kind of have some comic relief about, which I'm glad. But, man, I'll tell you what, bullets flying over my head and everything else, we're very thankful that you two did that for us. And I mean that sincerely. I appreciate it. Hey, your organization, Victor founded an organization called the Desert Ford Foundation. Gerald is a volunteer and actually part of the board.
Correct.
President of the board now?
Hey, the chairman of the board.
Does that mean you get to run this guy around now?
We work hand in hand together.
Hey, you have a project. It's called the Warrior Farm Project. Victor, please tell us about the Desert Forge Foundation and the work that you're doing.
So on any given day, you're going to have volunteers planting green chili, planting melons, planting wheat. These are mostly veterans who've served overseas, deployed to Iraq, Afghanistan. We have lots of peacetime volunteers and veterans, but we also have a lot of community members that join us. And it's really an opportunity to forge, create community. We're doing things that are important for this community in light of COVID. We're growing food. We're growing 20,000 pounds of chili, 20,000 pounds of wheat, all of which we anticipate will be going to disadvantaged families, some of which we'll sell to support the project. But what we are is we're a project of hope for veterans and disadvantaged community members here in New Mexico, with our focus being agricultural entrepreneurship. And we support lots and lots of farms, lots of businesses that you know here in Albuquerque.
Victor, your own background is you're an engineer, former combat veteran, as we mentioned at the top of the show. How did you get involved in this idea, and how did it come together?
So in 2003, I was a U.S. Public Health Service engineer sitting at my desk, and also a Utah Army National Guardsman. My buddy Jim called me, Farmington police officer, said, Vic, we got called up. Next thing I knew, we were training at Fort Lewis, and then we deployed to Iraq with the 1st Armored Division, 14 months in combat as combat engineers, sappers, mostly doing IED. We were IED hunters, bomb hunters. I came home a very different man and struggled with my own return. I had anxiety attacks and other health-related issues. I reclassed infantry to New Mexico Army National Guard. And in 2010, I volunteered to go back to Afghanistan as an advisor. Ended up with the French Army in northern Afghanistan, mostly doing engineering missions. But I was out with the French Special Forces, French Civil Affairs, and our own Special Forces. And I was there and thought to myself, you know, I need to do something. When I returned home, I struggled with my own return the first time and decided when I got home I would do something. And when I came home, I got with a bunch of my brothers and formed Desert Forge. And every single one of the founding members of this organization was a combat veteran.
Mm. Amazing story. Gerald, you are, I've gotten to know you a little bit. You're on the safety team at Calvary Albuquerque and working still to protect us. And that doesn't seem necessarily like it's a big deal, but it is a big deal. You know, the church, every church, I think, here in town is at one time or another receiving threats of various kinds. And so security is very important to protect the people on campus and so forth. And I don't want to get anybody alarmed. I mean, I'm not aware of any specific threats, but I have been around when there have been things said and done, especially with Pastor Skip, that, you know, people don't disagree with what he has to say. So appreciate you serving on the safety team. How did you get involved with Desert Forge?
I met Victor in the New Mexico National Guard. We served together with a counter-drug task force, part of a drug counter-drug program through the National Guard. We also served in the same infantry unit for a while. And I would see his posts on Facebook about Desert Fords, and I reached out to him and asked him, how do I get involved? He said, come on out. He invited me to a board meeting, and I became the chairman of the board. Mm-hmm. This was April of last year, so I've been with Desert Forge for just a little over a year. I volunteer my time when I'm off work. I go out to the farm, help plant produce, help harvest, help pull weeds, help harvest apples from a partner farm who owns an orchard. Those apples go to local businesses here in town, and I just reach out to people, telling them about Desert Forge, veterans, civilians. It doesn't matter. We're all the same community, and just letting people know about this program, what it's about, and if they know a veteran who is in need of help or looking for some integration with fellow veterans, send them our way to Desert Forge.
Let me ask you a question about veterans, Gerald. There's an unbelievable high number of suicides among people that have been particularly in combat. Why is that?
I can't answer for everybody. Just for myself, a lot of veterans deal with the stress of war, the fog of war, they used to call it in years past. PTSD is referred to nowadays. Everybody deals with it differently. Just like here at home, everybody deals with stress differently. But getting thrown into an environment where you're getting shot at or seeing your buddies next to you get shot or blown up, and it's very traumatizing. And coming back to the civilian world, you know, interacting with the general population, it's a different environment. It's hard to adjust. It's hard to adjust mentally. And so, unfortunately, many veterans can't adjust, and they end up taking their own lives. But Desert Forge is one of those organizations that is willing to help these people, regardless of whether or not they have PTSD or any other kind of issue. If you're a veteran, come out to Desert Forge and join us. And we're your brothers and sisters, and we will be there for you. And that's pretty much what we're all about.
Yeah. Victor is shaking his head enthusiastically about those statements. Victor, tell us a little bit about warrior farmers and how they participate in the whole process, planning, decision-making, and coordination of what you're doing.
Well, I'll give you, for instance, we have three or four volunteers that are out there every day. And so they're engaged, you know, in the farming activities. They know what needs to be done. You know, we come up with a big picture, but then they're the guys out in the field, guys and girls out in the field implementing, you know, the commander's intent, so to speak. And so, you know, on any given day, I get a note. I'm sent a note. Hey, Vic, this is what we're planning on doing, and this is why. So it might not be exactly what we thought we were going to do, but these are decisions made in real time by the people in the field doing the work. And it's really interesting, the diverse group of folks that are working together, to make our vision a reality. You know, we're going after some big grants, but even in that process, you know, we ask our guys and girls, hey, what is it you want to see the program grow into? So there's always this feedback in real time about, hey, this is the direction we want us to go in.
I want to ask you a little bit more specifically about what's missing when you return. So you develop you've gone to war. And I've kind of heard the analogy with athletes, though not in a dangerous way. They say, well, we went to war together. We're brothers and sisters. And then when they don't have high school athletics or college athletics anymore, they kind of feel lost. Is that similar to what's happening with veterans?
So in my particular case, I went to war with 500 good buddies. I came home with 500 brothers. Mm. And the thing is I, you know, now I run Desert Forge. I have this mission. And this mission, I love my mission. I love what I'm doing now. I'm serving the community, and I'm still serving my brothers and sisters. That's the thing. You go to war. I was a bomb hunter. I was helping people in Baghdad. I was safeguarding our troops who were moving supplies across town. We were doing patrols, you know, from Baghdad all the way to the Kuwaiti border. It was amazing. There's no other way to describe, you know, what I did, other than amazing and life changing. And so you go from that, and you come home, And, you know, the routine becomes the enemy. And, you know, you lose that sense of camaraderie because you're no longer with your brothers and sisters you served with. You're no longer with your support network. And then, of course, a lot of the things you experience start to catch up with you, things you can't control, nightmares and anxiety attacks and so on.
Is it easier for somebody that is experiencing that kind of thing after a war, after service, is it easier for them to talk to somebody that's had the same experience?
Absolutely. We have folks that they've been struggling just to make it through their daily lives. They've not had opportunities to be around other veterans, and then they join us, and they realize there's a community here that's willing to live their lives with them, that's willing to care for them. You know, Gerald and I will tell you that we live our lives together with our brothers and sisters in Desert Forge. We eat dinner with them. We cultivate produce with them. We go to the sales with them. We do everything we can together, integrated as a team. And they know they've got a support network through us.
Yeah. Gerald, you mentioned a little bit earlier in your service as chairman of the board, but you're also doing some things in the field. You're working in the farming operation. And what have you learned in the amount of time that you've been there, a little bit less than a year?
I've learned that I don't think I want to be a farmer by trade. That's hard work.
Yeah.
For those of you that never done any farming, it's hard work. You're out there in the sun and the heat all day for hours on end. But this is a program that I'm willing to do this for. You know, just volunteer my time to get out there and work alongside my brothers and sisters, fellow veterans, and some civilians that come out to help us because they believe in what we're doing and they want to support us.
Let's talk a little bit about that. How can our listeners help you help your cause? How can they support the Desert Forge Foundation, Victor?
Well, we have a whole host of needs right now. We have grant writing needs. We have website development needs. We need volunteers in the field, but we also need connections with local businesses. You know, for instance, we need a diesel truck right now to pull our food trailer. We have a food processing trailer. You know, if we were able to get that food processing trailer up and running, you know, that would allow us to generate revenue in real time to support our programs and movement towards becoming self-sufficient. We need, if you can imagine any of the sorts of needs that any organization might need, bookkeeping, accounting, support from attorneys, so on and so forth. We need all of those things. Right now, we have a good support network. But we really need to take this to the next level. Our vision long-term is to have a national training center here, and we absolutely need to take this to the next level.
Well, I want you to elaborate a little bit more about the food processing truck and actually you believe that you can actually impact the economy in New Mexico and really lift up the whole farming community, don't you?
Yeah, let me give you some perspective. Last year, we gave approximately $55,000 worth of in-kind donations ourselves. So imagine Desert Forge went out to, for instance, Burke Bees. Burke Bees is a business owned by Dr. Drew Harold and another friend of ours. And they are both emergency room doctors, but they're also they also have an apple business and a bee business and honey business, etc. And last year they were struggling with pruning and, you know, harvesting apples, and Desert Forge showed up on scene. And next thing you knew, they went from having harvested 8,000 pounds of apples the year before to 25,000 pounds of apples. This year, we've already given about $20,000 in in-kind donations to various farms. We have meat processing facility up in the mountains we support to include a ranch. We're also supporting several vegetable farmers, hops farmers, Burke Bees, and then, of course, we're impacting some of the local businesses here. If we weren't doing what we do, they'd be paying higher prices, for instance, for apples. So some of the numbers. We spend about $5 billion on food in New Mexico. Most of that money leaves our state. As an engineer, I look at that and I say, there's low-hanging fruit there, right? There's an opportunity. Imagine if we captured just $1 billion of the $5 billion being spent. If we kept that $1 billion here, You know, that's 10,000 new jobs at $40,000 a year with health benefits. Mm. There are opportunities here. I'll give you for instance. At the 1926 World's Fair, New Mexico was identified as having more varieties of wheat than any other place on earth. Wheat. To that end, we're growing Sonoran white wheat this year, which is used for tortillas and other, you know, baking needs. But the point is that we are absolutely looking at impacting local food production.
We have with us this afternoon Victor Versace and Gerald Torres. They are both with the Desert Forge Foundation, and they are working very closely with a lot of former veterans, even civilians that have struggles in their lives, want to be part of a community, work and learn the whole entrepreneurial and technical aspects of farming. It's called the Warrior Farm Project. More coming in the second part of our first half hour. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, Boudicke, Car Spa here. Did you know that Car Spa has 4 locations, or that Car Spa is locally owned for 47 years? Did you know that Car Spa employs more than 100 people in Albuquerque, or that 2 Car Spa locations remain traditional full and exterior wash services, and 2 new stores are called Car Spa Flex? That means everything or all services at one location. No wash across the street from our wash across the street from our wash across the street. That can get expensive, right? Flex has fast lanes, landing areas for both express and full service finish, express and complete detail landing areas, optional courtesy vacuum, and relaxing waiting areas. Some washes offer expensive convenience offset by free popcorn. Car Spa, value and experience exceed all expectations. Now, stay tuned for the pop quiz called Show Me. Experience the new Flex, East Central or Sevilla at Core. Google Raintone Car Spa for exact location.
Gonset Physical Medicine specializes in the diagnosis and treatment of spinal ligament injury. Don't ignore the pain and discomfort any longer. Schedule a consultation today at gonsted-nm.com or 505-884-8584.
God is love. God's love is intrinsic. It is as essential to God as light is to the sun, as blue is to the sky, as wet is to water. You don't make water wet, it is wet. In all of these cases, the attribute is intrinsic to the object. Take great joy in your God. He loves you. Hey, this is Pastor Scott Thom of Cross Christian Fellowship. Connect with us at crossfellowship.org.
You're listening to KNKT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Good Monday to you. Thanks for joining us here on ABQ Connect. We're talking about the Warrior Farm Project, and it's all done by a nonprofit organization called the Desert Forge Foundation. We have its founder, Victor Versace, and the chairman of their board, Gerald Torres, both combat veterans. Again, gentlemen, thank you for your service, and I can't say that enough. I am always in shock every time I talk to a veteran about stuff that you have gone through in your life and why there isn't more PTSD and things. And so I appreciate you working with the veterans that you're working with. I know you want to expand the program. Gerald, we mentioned that you've been with the organization for about a year, but this organization is actually in its 10th year.
That's correct. It was started up by Victor Versace in 2010. We've been actively involved in the community for the past 10 years. And like Victor was saying, we want to move forward in the next step in expanding the program. And eventually becoming, like Victor said, a national training center for farming and helping veterans.
One of the things I like about this, and I've only met with you guys one previous time to this, is most of what you're doing kind of perpetuates your program financially. So you need some people to come alongside you. You are a nonprofit. You can take donations. You need a grant writer. There's some federal grants and other things that are available to you, but a lot of the work that you're doing actually can generate income for your organization, and I think that's really a neat thing. Plus, as Vic said earlier, it can impact the whole economy for the state. Victor, you got to share with us a couple stories, if you would.
So there was this one, we were talking earlier about God and about faith, and I can tell you that God is absolutely real. One night, we were on patrol out near this place called Fallujah. And for some of your listeners, you might understand that Fallujah was one of the toughest places on earth in 2003, 2004, 2005. Our Marines actually, and an Army went in there and had to capture Fallujah, and then we lost it and had to retake it. But we were on a patrol one night and we got ambushed three times in one night. And I remember my buddy Ben was, we were both pretty, you know, we were hurting. You know, we got hit three times, and I remember God, just a small voice saying, "You're gonna make it, man." And you know, we made our way through that night. We got back to this compound that was run by the 82nd Airborne, and later that night we got hit again. But this time we were in the compound with all our brothers. And even though we're getting hit, me and Ben were just sitting there looking at each other and smiling and laughing. And these guys are like, "What's up? What's up?" But we got hit three times. And me and Ben just said, "Rather die right here with my brothers and out there alone." So, you know, I knew God was with us then. I know He's with us now in this mission. And I'm just here to say that God's real and we're here doing God's work.
Well, and you are. I want to ask you though about maybe individuals, if you will. Combat veteran, trained, specialized, know how everything, techniques of combat, utilizing weapons, utilizing tactics, very important to watch out for the lives of everybody that's with you. You get through the war, you come back. I want to know what it takes in terms of a relationship from your volunteers. What kind of commitment, what kind of investment does it take for a volunteer to earn the right to speak into the lives of people that you're helping?
Well, you know, you've got a young man or a young woman that's given several years of their lives in defense of our nation. And, you know, if folks want to come out and volunteer with us, you've got to recognize that this person you're working with may have a particular set of needs that you're not very familiar with. We, you know, if somebody wants to come volunteer with us, you know, we just say, "Hey, come on out, spend time with us, get to know us, and, you know, develop a meaningful relationship with us as individuals." You'll find that our veterans and our long-term volunteers are all really lovely, unique people that want to do good things for this community. You've got to be willing to invest time, though, if you want to engage a veteran or one of the other disadvantaged folks that's part of our community. You've got to be willing to invest time.
Gerald, tell us how people get in touch with your organization. You have a website?
We do. You can go to desertforge.org. You can look at our website. You can donate money. You can volunteer to.
There's a volunteer form up there right now.
Yeah, you can volunteer to come out and help us. If you provide your email, we can reach out to you and contact you when we have an event going on, such as planting chili, harvesting, or whatever the case.
Hey, this may be a little bit off script, Vic, but let's say you're a farmer, and I don't know if COVID has affected the ability for farmers to get help, get laborers. Can they call you guys for some help?
Well, you know, yeah, actually. So I'll give you some perspective. When all of this stuff started, and rightfully so, we took a knee and just kind of did an assessment and said, okay, what is this going to look like? And after a short bit of time, collectively, we made a decision to move forward judiciously. We made decisions to get out there and farm. And, you know, and I've said this before, it's made all the difference. You know, we've actually got, you know, we have X number of thousands of chili in the ground. We've got X number of thousands of pounds of wheat that we're going to harvest this year. If we hadn't moved forward, there would be none of this and there'd be no program. So if there's a farmer that needs some help, give us a call, contact us, and let's see what we can do. I don't know what we can commit to, but if you're willing to work with us, we'd probably be willing to work with you. There are lots of opportunities through New Mexico Department of Agriculture, USDA, et cetera. They want to support us, and we want to support the agricultural community at large here in New Mexico.
And you already have a proven track record. Again, that's right. 10 years, a lot of great relationships that you already have with farmers. You have a labor force, and the more you're able to do, the more you're able to hire people and have more and more volunteers, which again reinforces the community. I want to go back, Vic, to real quickly, and we don't have a lot of time left, but I want to go back to this food processing truck, because you mentioned something to me when we met last week in preparation for this interview, where you said that a lot of the farmers are sending the products they grow out to food processing outside of the state. And your products, your whole process, a lot of it could be done right here and keep the products and the processing and people working in New Mexico.
That's right. So, you know, I'll give you, for instance, we have a friend of ours who owns Polk's Folly Farms. If any of you are listening and live up in East Mounds, you want to go check them out. They do pork and beef processing, but there are only so many plants available in New Mexico to process meat per the USDA's recommendations. And so, you know, we're thinking that at some point we'd like to be have the ability, right, to be able to process meat with USDA approval. Speaking to the food processing trailer, we have a 26-foot food trailer that we're trying to get up to state health code. And once we do that, we envision ourselves going out to farms and being able to process chili in real time, purchase produce from the smallest farmers and incorporate it into, say, burritos or whatever else we're going to be selling out of the truck. So the truck serves several purposes, large scale, relatively large scale food processing, a functioning food truck, like a conventional food truck like any other, but also it serves as a platform for entrepreneurial training.
Nice. But we also need a diesel truck to pull that food trailer.
Yes, we do. Sure.
So if anybody is out there that would like to donate one to support Desert Forge, help us get our food trailer up and running and get it pulled around town, that'd be greatly appreciated.
You know, I can tell you about our listeners. You know, our listeners take action. You know, these are people that they're listening to the station because they enjoy and thrive on the encouragement they get in the Word of God. We have these unbelievable Bible teachers, shows like this that are not religious programs, but this is a Christian worldview. We want to let people know about what the Desert Forge Foundation is doing and how you're interacting with people. That leads me, Gerald, to how does your faith direct the service and how you decide to work with people?
Well, it's just like my everyday life. God's word says to love your neighbor as yourself. But God's word also says if you see your brother who is hungry or naked and you don't give them clothing or food, then what good are you? What good is your faith? Mm-hmm. James says faith without works is dead. So if we love our veterans, we need to get out there and help them, not just talk about it. So like the old adage, put your money where your mouth is. Don't just talk about helping people. Get up and do something. Either come out to the farm and help us physically, go to our website and donate so that we can continue this program and continue helping veterans, or help us out in another way. If you're a professional grant writer, web page designer, like Victor was saying earlier, we could use help in a lot of different areas. So come out and help us any way you can.
And as you mentioned earlier, if you have access to a diesel truck, maybe one sitting around gathering dust somewhere, I bet you have some people that might be able to make an old diesel truck run, too.
We probably do.
Yeah. Well, it all kind of comes together. Vic, in the minute we have left, share with us one more success story, if you would.
Well, we have one of our brothers, one of our dear brothers who was a Marine. And you know, he's from San Francisco and definitely a city fellow, city boy, kind of like I was. And you know, if he was sitting here, he'd tell his story. You know, he was in the Marines, started manifesting, exhibiting symptoms of paranoid schizophrenia and bipolar disorder, ended up getting in trouble in the Marines, but the Marines tried to help him. Unfortunately, he ended up in the prison system of California. He made his way out here, and now he's with us. And it's made all the difference in his life. And if he was sitting here, he'd just tell you, yeah, I struggled with everyday life, and then I met these cats, and now I'm good to go. So, you know, if you're struggling with something, and you're a veteran, and you want to hang out with some cool folks, come join Desert Forge.
One more time, give out your website, and is it possible for people to call you as well?
Yeah, they can.
Go ahead and give that out.
So, you know, our website's www.desertforge.org. You can find us on Facebook, Desert Forge, Warrior Farmer Project. And if anybody wants to give me a call, feel free to call me 505-379-0054. Be more than happy to talk to you.
Victor Versace and Gerald Torres with the Desert Forge Foundation. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us today on ABQ Connect.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll be back with Bobby Solomon with Mentor Me Ministries. Stay with us. We'll be right back.